Inside on Business the News Hour with Michael Libby is supported by Iowa Computer Repair. Keeping your business running, iowacomputerrepair.com. And the Strudel House at Austrian Restaurant and Bakery, the taste of Europe in Des Moines, strudelhouse.com.
It is the Business News Hour for Thursday afternoon. Welcome. Grateful that you have found us today. We're going to take a slightly different tact this afternoon. We're going to be talking about construction and labor unions and the Iowa legislature. With us in studio is Bill Gerhart. He is the Iowa State Building and Construction Trades Council president. Also, Andy Roberts is with us. Andy is the business manager of the Plumbers and Fitters Local 33 here in Des Moines and vice president of the Iowa State Building and Construction Trades Council. Welcome, gentlemen. Good to have you both here.
Well, thank you for inviting us.
Now, you're all the way from the eastern side of the state, Bill.
From Iowa City, that's right.
Yeah. Wow. Thanks for making the trip.
My pleasure.
And Andy, you're here in the Des Moines market?
I am.
All right. Very nice. Well, here's why you guys are here. Let me just lay this out as carefully as what I possibly can. We don't do politics on the News Hour, but when something affects business, and I tell you what, over the past 60 days, it seems like everything has been a business concern relative to politics. And so sometimes we get into the weeds on this, but I'm aware that there's a Senate study bill. It's called 1145. It was introduced through a subcommittee about project labor agreements. And we had some folks contact us. It was the Associated Builders and Contractors, a nonprofit construction trades group. And Greg Spenner, he was the Iowa president and CEO, said that they would be interested in talking to us about this particular bill and what it means to construction efforts here in the state of Iowa. And when I looked at the stuff that they had sent me, I thought immediately, you know, this looks just a little bit one-sided. And so I decided that I would reach out to the Building and Trades Union and say, look, why don't you guys want to come in here and we'll have Greg on one microphone and we'll have Bill on the other microphone and we'll kind of do a point-counterpoint about what's going on with this rule. And we got a note back from ABC of Iowa, that is the Associated Building, Associated Builders and Contractors, and Mr. Spenner, that they were not interested in having a conversation with all of us in the room. So, but I wanted you to come because I don't know what all this is about.
I appreciate that. Now we don't have to deal with alternate facts, do we?
Yeah. This is all fake news, ladies and gentlemen, so don't worry about it. All right, so what are we talking about here, Bill? What's going on?
Well, we're talking about project labor agreements have been around forever. They're used in private industry all the time. Most of the power plants, most of the big projects are worked under project labor agreement. It just standardizes the working conditions of that job site for everyone on that job site, and they always have a no-strike provision in there with a penalty, so the projects get done on time, under budget. Private industry, private owners have used it. In the 80s, the federal government the city of Boston put one together for a big project there, went to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court said it was perfectly legal for public entities to enter into project labor agreements with the local building trades.
Now, so these project labor agreements that we're talking about that municipalities or other governments do, this means, Andy, that the entity, the city or the county, can they have non-union workers do the job?
That's exactly what it covers. This project labor agreement is just more or less stating that your local Iowans are going to be doing this work. They will be referred right out of the union halls, union or non-union. It's just to keep a viable workforce doing these projects.
So this is a jobs issue then?
Very much a jobs issue.
Okay.
A jobs for Iowans issue, actually.
Right. So if this Senate study bill, and I said it was 1145, passes the Senate and the governor would be expected to sign this, what would this mean? What would this change do?
It would take a tool out of the toolbox for cities, school boards, counties, and the state of Iowa that they couldn't use anymore. Every job wouldn't make good a PLA project, but when one is needed, one is needed, and this just takes a tool out of their toolbox. I mean, the projects will get built, and they'll probably get built okay, but this just means that there's less the county, city, school board, state has to work with.
Which is confusing to me because I know that my friends in the GOP are all for home rule. I mean, they're all for local control and all of those types of things. And but this would sound as though that the state would say, well, no, wait a minute, you don't necessarily have that any longer.
It's sort of a contradiction. I felt that same way, too. The GOP has always been, let the local government decide. They know best, and home rule's almost been a sacred cow. But I guess when it comes against, bumps up against some of their special interest groups, I guess they're willing to do this. This is one of the most disappointing things I've seen in this legislature is this bill and other bills like that that aren't really Iowa.
Well, you know, and one of the interesting things about that, you know, I watch politics pretty closely, and we don't do politics on the Business News Hour, but I can't remember a single television ad that I saw. I can't remember a single piece of literature that I saw that indicated that people that were running for the House or the Senate were going to cut education and cut funding for schools and cut projects and cut jobs. I don't remember seeing any of that kind of stuff, but apparently...
Yeah. And lower minimum wage.
Thank you. I forgot about that one. Lower the minimum wage.
And one of the most important bills that's going on up there right now, Mike, is the workman's comp bill.
It is.
It's trying to eliminate some of the provisions of the workman's comp. What they have going on right now, it's a serious attack on workers out there.
Regardless of the fact that workers' compensation claims and adjustments have not gone up.
Even steady.
Yeah, even and steady. As a matter of fact, insurance rates for most employers went down by 4.7% last year. So, yeah, it is a little it is concerning and at the same time confusing as to why some of the folks would be talking about these things. So let's talk once again about what it is that you guys do, Bill. What is the Iowa State Labor Group? What do you do?
What do we do? The Iowa State Building and Construction Trades Council is the umbrella organization for the 16 different unions that do construction work.
Like plumbers and steam
cleaners. Plumbers
are
one of them. Electricians are one. Carpenters are one. Sheet metal workers. Cement finishers.
Iron workers.
On and on. I think I can remember all 16. But there's 16 of them. On any big project, they'll all be there. And they all have their own apprentice programs. They all train the workers of the future. It's a lot like a hospital of all the special special different trades there. So,
I know that IBEW, the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, would that be correct?
That's correct.
They spend quite a bit of money in public relations efforts talking about the training that they do for people that wish to be electricians. And so that's invigorating. I mean, they're spending the money saying, okay, when you get an IBEW worker, you can be assured that that work is going to be done to code and it's going to be done right. Is that one of the concerns that the building trades group has, that if that some people may not keep it up to code, or will it be built? I don't know. I just don't understand that, it.
That's always a concern we have is the quality of work. Mm-hmm. And with our apprentice programs and our contracts that say you can have so many journeymen per apprentice, I mean, I think that really adds quality to the job site. And I'd mention one more thing that we all do, electricians, plumbers, the building trades. We're trying to let people know there's careers out there you don't have to go to college for.
Right.
You know, we've seen all the industrial arts classes being taken out of the curriculum. We've talked to counselors that tell kids that you have to go to college to be successful. We think there's plenty of jobs in the skilled trades where people can be successful. It's not go to college or flip hamburgers. There's some good jobs out there through our apprentice programs.
There are great jobs. And as a matter of fact, all these apprentice programs, and this is the other confusing thing, all of these apprentice programs that we are talking about right now are lifted up by the community colleges. They're lifted up by many governmental agencies and groups saying this is the future for lots of young people who don't necessarily want to go on to a four-year school or an eight-year school, but they can make a really good living as an electrician, as a pipe fitter, as a steam, carpenter, in all of these trades.
Well, just make an understanding, the apprenticeship, it's earn while you learn.
Yeah.
It's on-the-job training, but we're also at a college. We're a community college ourselves. We give accredited college courses. We're given 5 years of training to these young apprentices, and when they walk out, they're mandated to have their statewide license here in the plumbing or the hydronics field or the HVAC field. And this is no cost to the member. This is all paid by the membership to give the next generation of the plumbers and steam fitters or the laborers, locals out there, their manpower.
Yeah, and I would suspect that folks that are trained through these apprenticeship programs are being trained by journeymen that have been on the job for a long time and know how to get the job done right.
Exactly. Yeah, I wish you could tour some of our training centers we have. They're state-of-the-art training centers.
I would love
to have you guys come down and do that. We have half a dozen state-of-the-art training centers here in Des Moines for the various crafts. Probably more than that, probably 8 or 9.
That's correct.
Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So it would seem, I mean, you know, again, not being the political person on this team, but I'm trying to figure out why we would want to disrupt any of this.
But maybe we need to step back here. You said something earlier. I don't think any one of those Republicans campaigned on what's going on at the State House now. This is not an Iowa agenda. This agenda that they're running on up there is coming from somewhere else. The Iowans aren't their constituents anymore. I don't know who it is, whether it's the Koch brothers or Americans for Prosperity, but none of them ran on this agenda. And that collective bargaining bill for public employees, I have yet to see an editorial in a newspaper by an editorial staff that said they wanted to, that was a good idea to gut that. You know, there's things that are working well. There's no problems. They're looking for solutions.
Well, let's go back on the PLA for just a moment. You have a picture with you, and this is a photograph of you can see that, ladies and gentlemen. This is a photograph of the former capital here in the state of Iowa, which was in Iowa City at one point, right?
Right. This was taken in 1982. They were doing work on the old capital, and anyone that's been to Iowa City or a student there had people go there. When this fire, there's flames leaping 50 foot in the air. It took the heart out of people at the University of Iowa. And that was done by a contractor that was non-union, didn't have enough skilled help or the right skills to do it. And they about burnt the old Capitol down. And now the sad part is, with this bill we've been talking about, part of the anti-PLA bill is a section there that says that the public entities will not be able to do background checks, will not be able to do any sort of quality assurance questionnaires ahead of time. So this very same contractor that burnt down the dome of the old Capitol can come back and bid on work at the University of Iowa, and the University of Iowa couldn't say, no, we don't want you here. It's really going to have an effect on the quality and safety on work sites here.
It's an amazing story. It really is. And I wish that our friends from the other side could have been with us, the Associated Builders and Contractors, so that they could have at least tried to maintain what their bill is about and what they're all for. How long have you been, Andy, with the union?
I've been with the union 30 years.
Is that right?
Yes. Business manager for 7.
So let me ask you a question, and this comes up from time to time when I have conversations, especially with younger people who don't remember the 1960s and the 1970s when, and I'm from Detroit originally, so I know what unionization meant for so much of that economy up there. People were getting paid in 1962, $19 an hour for sweeping the floor, but they were with the United Auto Workers Union, and they were well taken care of. Lots of younger people that don't know those stories would tell me is that unions exist only to pocket money from the poor worker, and they're not really there to protect or defend the worker, and that it's just really a scam. How do you answer something like that?
Have you
heard the same thing?
I have. Yeah. And as a third generation family member in a union, I can easily explain to why a union has been beneficial to my family. Sure, there's union dues out there, but it's not union dues that it's not as extravagant as everybody thinks it is. It's not the big fat boss sitting in the chair just to collect any union dues. These union dues, majority of our union dues go to training. Going to train our next members. There's some political money that tied in with our union. Who doesn't have some political PAC money that they use to try to get to their favorite candidate? But the training and the knowledge that they're and the brotherhood and the solidarity, everything that comes with the union, The price tag is worth it. You get what you pay for. And if you're considering joining a union and that's the downfall that you see, then I suggest you come visit your union and talk before you make that accusation.
Andy Roberts, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about Senate Study Bill 1145 that is working its way through the Iowa State Senate. Bill, I'm just checking the time here. Okay. We've been doing this 16 minutes. Is that right, Tyler?
Could I?
Oh, 15. All right.
Just on the PLA also, you know, it hasn't been used a lot in the state of Iowa anyway. Mitchellville Prison, Wells Fargo Arena. There's been a little bit more on the eastern Iowa. But please understand Mayor Ron Corbett in the Cedar Rapids after the flood in Cedar Rapids. He's seen a lot of contractors coming in from around different states in Iowa trying to secure some of this work to rebuild Cedar Rapids after this flood. Ron Corbett was able to sit down with the building trades in Cedar Rapids, and they were able to come together with the PLA projects on many projects after the flood, which in turn hired residents of Cedar Rapids to do this work. So he wanted the commitment of the community to rebuild their community, and it worked out very nice for Ron Corbett and the city of Cedar Rapids.
So these PLAs, these project agreements, work both ways, in tandem with not only the people doing the work, but also the entity that's having the work done.
That's correct.
Okay. Wow. I want to thank you guys for coming in and brave enough to you didn't know who was going to be in the studio. And
well,
what we're
we
talk
were hoping
about.
It'd be the ABC. But
I would hope the invitation still stands for Mr. Spinner to come on out. We would love to discuss this with him anytime.
Absolutely. Well, I thank you guys for coming all the way from Iowa City, Bill, and for your work here. And these photographs that I'm looking at of the old Maine, of the old state capitol going up in flames, are pretty frightening, and it is point on to exactly what you're talking about.
Exactly.
Yeah. Thanks, you guys.
Thank you.
For
appreciate
us.
It.
All right. We're going to step aside for why? Well, it's time to take a look at what happened today on Wall Street. What did the markets do? Well, President Trump's budget came out today, all 54 pages of it, and Wall Street reacted just a bit. We'll have that story next here on the Business News Hour.